Get what you spray for. Results. Get the lasting control more corn growers trust with Anthem Max Herbicide from FMC. Apply pre-plant, pre-emergence, or early post-emergence to control tough broadleaf weeds and grasses before they cost you. For superior control with a low use rate and long residual, make the easy, high-performing choice. Visit anthemmax.ag.fmc.com to get results. Always read and follow all label directions. Get what you spray for. Results. Get the lasting control more corn growers trust with Anthem Max Herbicide from FMC. Visit anthemmax.ag.fmc.com to get results. Always read and follow all label directions.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
This is a Signal Storm podcast.
All right, folks, second day of exclusive Chris Salcedo access on the Salcedo Storm podcast. This is the only new content that we're putting out while the Chris Salcedo shows on KSEV and on Newsmax are on vacation. I think it's now common sense, common convention, common wisdom that the China virus pandemic was something that we were taken for a ride on, that our own government conspired with various pharmaceutical companies, conspired to hide the truth from us so as to basically turn a calamity that had been unleashed on the world into a profit-making venture for those in big pharma. Now, I can't assign any greater blame than that. I can't make the linkage that this was, as some accuse it of being, a plandemic, meaning they meant to unleash this on us, that it was all part of the plan from the very beginning to make humanity one large petri dish, because some people have been tempted to believe these population control freaks like Bill Gates and others, that the world needed a culling, if you will. Now, I can't prove any of that. I know they've written this stuff down, so I'm not talking out of turn when I tell you that there are people out there who believe in population control. It was the policy of the China government for many, many moons. Don't exactly know how long, but it was enough to completely destroy their future. Communist China is living on borrowed time, my friends. Communist China is living on borrowed time because they slaughtered little girls and they slaughtered their population to the point to where now they're aging. They don't have a replacement population. And that's why they're becoming belligerent, caustic, and militaristic, is because they know that fairly soon, within the next decade or so, they're going to start seeing diminishing returns on their one-child policy, to the point to where their country will be vulnerable to attack. Not enough military age men, not enough individuals to protect them. So that's why they need to take out the United States now. That's why they're seeking allies in places like Iran and Russia, seeking to supplant our world reserve currency dollar. Once the dollar is no longer the world's reserve currency, it's over for the United States with our $32 trillion in debt and counting. Speaking of the debt, you know, Reagan was talking about this way, way, way back in his first inaugural address. And compared to today, what he was dealing with was a pittance. I mean, today, $32 trillion, we're projected to add $19 trillion over the next decade. It's astonishing. But Reagan put it in pretty simple terms. Listen to what he had to say again, first inaugural.
Those who do work are denied a fair return for their labor by a tax system which penalizes successful achievement and keeps us from maintaining full productivity. But great as our tax burden is, it has not kept pace with public spending. For decades, we have piled deficit upon deficit mortgaging our future and our children's future for the temporary convenience of the present. To continue this long trend is to guarantee tremendous social, cultural, political, and economic upheavals. You and I, as individuals, can, by borrowing, live beyond our means, but for only a limited period of time. Why then should we think that collectively, as a nation, we're not bound by that same limitation?
The great communicator, Ronald Reagan, and communicating very eloquently. Why do you think that a nation can continue to borrow and spend and borrow and spend and print money without eventually having to pay the piper? And we will, and we will, and it may cost us everything. And again, there's no grown-up sitting in Washington. Nobody is grown up enough to stop this. And Reagan was sounding the alarm back in the 80s. Instead, we have, it seems to me, just from reading the tea leaves here, it seems to me that there are a whole bunch of those in political power who are trying to give payoffs with the federal treasury to their cronies, whether they be in big pharma or big business or woke corporate America, or, you know, pay off their friends while they still can before the gravy train runs out. And their friends, of course, will give their little kickback. At the end of the day, who's going to be holding the bag? They'll have all the money and we'll be in economic dire straits. And that brings us back to the decisions that were made during the China virus pandemic, because big pharma making money off of us hand over fist, and they're indemnified. For those of you who are recent graduates of GovEd, indemnified means held harmless. You can't be sued. Indemnified if their product ends up being crappy. And the brand new product was very, very expensive, from the so-called therapeutics that were created to the vaccines themselves, so-called vaccines. And then this, you guys want to get angry? This is going to make you angry. Judicial Watch. Former NIH Director Francis Collins. The emails reveal British physicians and scientists group recommended ivermectin for preventions and treatment of the China virus. Judicial Watch announced today that it has received 254 pages of records from the Department of Health and Human Services. This included emails from then Director of the National Institutes of Health, Francis Collins, regarding a British group's recommendations on the use of ivermectin. So, medical professionals, scientists were saying, whoa, slow your roll. We've got a tried and true, award-winning medication that should do the job to help mitigate the damage of the China virus. And what did they do? They poo-pooed it. They demonized it. They called it a conspiracy theory. They threatened to destroy the careers of medical professionals who even uttered the name ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, because those were safe, tried, and true methods to fight this type of virus. And they poo-pooed it because that would have meant not billions of billions of billions of dollars to their pals in big pharma. This is, again, when I say it feels like we were taken for a ride, that's what I mean. Some of the folks who have been out there in front trying to protect we the people, protect their patients, guys like Dr. Robert Malone, guys like Dr. Peter McCullough, who have been on the receiving end of this demonization from government so-called doctors. They have been trying to sound the alarm. We will talk to Dr. McCullough coming up next on the Salcedo Storm podcast.
And now a word from our sponsor.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
The establishment media is out of touch with the real things real Texans care about. Real news for real Texans. That's what Texas Scorecard does every day. Learn more and subscribe for free. TexasScorecard.com/Chris.
Hi, folks. I want to welcome to the program. Dr. Peter McCullough has a long and storied career in medicine. As an internist, cardiologist, and epidemiologist, he also travels quite frequently, and that's the sound effect you're hearing in the background. We are lucky to have him in the great state of Texas. And, sir, welcome back to the Salcedo Show.
Chris, thanks so much. I'm reporting in from the Jackson, Mississippi airport after 2 days of work on the state capitol. So have some great updates from the Deep South.
Well, congratulations. I will get you the information on that out to the audience from you here in a minute. But first, your view from 30,000 feet up, as now another government agency has said, look, the lab leak theory looks like it is the most promising, has the most evidence, and we have new evidence to support that. And that puts this kibosh on this whole natural evolution theory that Dr. Fauci was pushing for many, many years.
You know, we had papers published in the medical literature, two good journals, Nature Communications and Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. First author is Menacheri, senior author is Barrick. These are papers that describe the creation of SARS-CoV-2 as a chimeric virus. The work was engineered and conceived by the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, Harvard, and a Swiss institute as a consortium. The work was contracted to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And in these papers, they thank Dr. Anthony Fauci's branch of the NIH, NIAID. They thank the Chinese government, which paid for part of it. And then they thank the Wuhan lab that did the research. The research was done prominently, Dr. Shengling Shi, who is the bat lady in Wuhan, China. This is in 2015, so this is in the open. They said it's a U.S. project, and it was created in the Wuhan lab. Everything that came out after that, the mainstream media, regarding the fish, the wet market, and all the other controversy, is an attempted cover-up. Mm-hmm. It's actually an attempted cover-up. It happened in the lab. It's published. That can't be erased. That's in the National Library of Medicine. It's permanently there. And everything you hear otherwise is effectively a cover-up.
My jaw dropped when I heard Admiral Kirby jump out in front of the press when asked about the lab leak theory and gain-of-function research. He said that Joe Biden supports gain-of-function research because we need this in order to combat the next pandemic. I've just got to ask you, it's always sounded like mad scientist technology to me to teach a virus that has not naturally evolved out of the animal kingdom and introduce it to human beings through genetic manipulation and to do so ahead of the natural evolution. And you actually had left wingers in this government doubling down on what I would classify mad science talk. What is your take on this?
This is the new biological warfare military industrial complex. It's replacing the legacy, you know, tanks and mortar and shells. Biological warfare means to develop and devise and enhance biological threats and hold them as an offensive asset, and then develop vaccines, monoclonal antibodies, and treatments as defensive assets, and then go out there and, in a sense, be able to threaten or position oneself based on biological warfare. We heard about strings of labs in the Ukraine, and now this Department of Energy report indicating the DOE actually had 17 responsibilities on various projects, including the Wuhan Institute of Virology. So if the virus was not created there, Chris, why would the Department of Energy have it listed on one of its sites that it has to monitor and report on?
Mm-hmm. It makes all the sense in the world that this has been done with our money under our nose every step of the way. Dr. Peter McCullough has a long and storied career, folks, in medicine as an internist, cardiologist, and epidemiologist. He's our guest right now. And before I find out what you've been up to and what kind of efforts that you have been able to put forward in your travels, in particular down south, I did want to get one more quote in from a guy who is allegedly a doctor. His name is Michael Osterholm, and he was on CNN. Here's the quote. "We have to move on, and I believe we're wasting time getting prepared for the next virus. I promise you in 10 years from now, we won't be any closer to solving where this virus came from." Move on after everything we've been through, says CNN's Dr. Michael Osterholm. What do you say?
His head's in the sand. He's willfully blind. He's part of the cover-up. We know where it came from. He needs to read the peer-reviewed manuscripts, which indicate where it came from. And what we need is we need a deep investigation, and we need safeguards to be sure that the American public and really the world at large is protected against this new form of biowarfare that's being developed all over the world.
Tell me about your travels. What are you out and about doing, and what progress have we made?
By invitation, a group of about a dozen doctors and scientists held a COVID-19 vaccine panel in the House of Representatives in Jackson, Mississippi. And it was chaired by Representative Randy Boyd. And there was a full report on vaccine injuries, disabilities, and deaths and why they're occurring. PhD scientists also carefully reviewed the mechanism of action. We had nurses report on what they've seen. And very importantly, we had patients. There were patients who reported what happened when they took the vaccine, hemorrhage into the brain, being disabled in wheelchairs. Two parents reported the deaths of their children who died of cardiovascular disasters immediately after taking the vaccine. I think the audience was shocked and in many ways disgusted. The panel concluded by indicating that the vaccines have outlived any theoretical benefit at this point in time, and they should be removed from the market. They should be taken off the market. Today we had a press briefing on the steps of the Capitol building, and really a surprise presentation. State Senator Michael McClendon wanted the microphone, and he got out in front of the crowd and he said, "Listen, I took the vaccine and I developed a blood clot, and now I'm on blood thinners and I'm regretful." And I think we're going to see more and more lawmakers come out, just like Nancy Mace did,
right,
in the U.S. Congress, and just basically say, "Listen, it's happening to us too. These can't be sufficiently safe for human use."
Well, I've got to point you to the latest celebrity to potentially, and I have to stress that because I'm not a doctor and I have not seen this patient's medical file, nor have you, but I'm sure you're familiar with the actress Hayden Panettiere. And she has starred in several movies and series. Her brother, a 28-year-old, Jansen, passed away last week of an enlarged heart. Cardiomegaly. That was the cause of death, which is basically saying an enlarged heart. 28 years old. Doctor, when you hear these cases, and you heard about the Buffalo Bills safety, DeMar Hamlin, you're hearing all of these increased cases that cannot be ignored. What goes through your mind about, and again, the demographics fit. This is a guy that's Hollywood in kind of a left-wing sphere where this was seen as some sort of badge of honor rather than a medical responsibility, quite frankly. When you hear about a young man like this, what goes through your mind?
Chris, there's a straight line, and I described this on Tucker Carlson within 24 hours of when DeMar Hamlin had his cardiac arrest on the field. And the straight line goes as follows. The FDA says the vaccines cause myocarditis or heart damage. Our guidelines in cardiology say if someone has myocarditis, we can't let them go on the playing field. They can't have exertion because they can't tolerate that extreme surge of adrenaline. It could precipitate a cardiac arrest. So people with myocarditis cannot participate in sports until it's cleared up. And when a player or a person takes the vaccine and there's heart damage, only 50% of people actually feel it. The rest of them, they don't know what's happening. And so people are walking around who have heart damage. They don't know what's occurred. And then at the right moment, when everything aligns, they can have a sudden cardiac arrest. And that's what we're seeing. There are now fatal cases reported in our best cardiology journal, Circulation, 100 fatal cases by Patone. Gill and colleagues reported in Connecticut two boys who died after Pfizer on days 3 and 4, and the autopsies proved that it was vaccine-induced myocarditis. Fatal cases by Choi Verma at Washington University in St. Louis. So there are autopsy-proven fatal cases. The FDA says it can happen, and now we're seeing really just a record number of athletes and young people have this sudden cardiac arrest. A former Utah Jazz superstar guard, John Stockton, is keeping track. And he indicates that there's about 300 athletes in the United States by press report who have died of unknown causes.
Oh, boy.
And what I've said, Chris, what I've said, listen, if someone dies of unknown causes, and the only new thing that's in America right now is the mass vaccination program, it is the vaccine until proven otherwise. Now, if a family comes out and said they didn't take the vaccine and it's quickly resolved, or it's adjudicated and it's a drug overdose or a suicide, okay, we can allay our fears. But otherwise, all these deaths where it says unknown cause, I am very concerned that it's due to the COVID-19 vaccine.
Dr. Peter McCullough is our guest right now, has a long storied history in medicine, internist, cardiologist, and epidemiologist. Let's talk about the varied vaccines, because we talk about the mRNA technology that was utilized in two of the vaccines, which was from Pfizer and from Moderna. Then you have the J&J vaccine, which was more of a traditional type vaccine, which actually had some serious problems with it too, as far as heart inflammation was concerned. And then there were a couple of other outliers, but the primary vaccine everybody has been receiving, including the boosters, has been Pfizer. I have not heard a lot about Moderna patients who took the initial injections. Is there a reason why?
Well, Pfizer has the biggest marketing advantage because they're a longstanding company. They use a PR firm called Weber Shandwick. And Weber Shandwick, a longstanding relationship with Pfizer, they have a whole corporate promotion program called Plan VX, where they're promoting Pfizer vaccines within corporations. Mm-hmm. Weber Shandwick actually had an installed unit in the CDC. And Senator Rand Paul found out about it, wrote a letter to Walensky and said, listen, you can't have a private company marketing firm within the CDC. Now, Weber Shandwick also picked up a contract for Moderna now. So Pfizer was first out of the box December 10th, 2020. And they're the ones who actually have their documents publicly disclosed by court order. And it's been a disaster. Pfizer knew within 90 days of release of their vaccine, 1,223 people died. And they reported to Pfizer. And Pfizer did not shut it down. And during the court proceedings, the lawyer for the FDA wanted to block this to Americans for 55 years. So the FDA is involved in a safety cover-up with Pfizer. And we do hear about Pfizer all the time. Now, Pfizer's 30 micrograms of messenger RNA, Moderna's 100. They have different sequences, so Pfizer must be more efficient in terms of feeding the ribosomes and producing the spike protein. Moderna is suing Pfizer over their code, which is interesting. So, I mean, this is really, in a sense, a biopharmaceutical mess. In the head-to-head studies that are available, there are more side effects, particularly cardiac myocarditis with Moderna over Pfizer. Now, Janssen or Johnson & Johnson rarely promoted or featured as an adenoviral vector vaccine. Its special risks were blood clots. Mm-hmm. And now our FDA has published, our FDA science officers and the FDA published Wu and colleagues on thousands and thousands of blood clots with Janssen. Blood clots going from the ankle to the hip, about 11% were fatal in that manuscript. So there seems to be no safe alternative. The one you don't hear about in the United States is Novavax. And Novavax, I think, probably is a safer alternative. It's an antigen-based vaccine. It's rarely talked about. The problem with Novavax is that it's still coded against the original virus. So you know, everyone thinks it's obsolete at this point in time.
Right.
Outside the United States, the Chinese have about 12 vaccines total. They claim for 1.3 billion people, they claim they've administered 3 billion doses, largely the killed virus vaccine, which is ineffective. It just is, you know, provides toxicity to the body. SARS-CoV-2 has been a disaster for vaccines. I think they should all be pulled off the market. The world will be better off.
Well, no truer words. And I think it is time for us to stop this idea that we can't have these discussions, that we can't critically look through a scientific lens at every aspect of this. The idea that you couldn't question the science, even though there was plenty of questions that had not been answered, to the point to where Pfizer, in the latest round of their boosters, the CDC would not release the data, saying that they didn't want the data to be misunderstood by the American people, so they just kept it secret. And now you've got doctors who used to be on board with this regimen are coming out saying, I'm not going to prescribe this for my patients because I can't see the data.
It's true. You know, we've had 8 emergency use authorizations based on rises in antibodies after the shots. Now, our FDA diagnostic division says you can't rely on antibody levels to infer immunity. So our FDA is disagreeing with itself. We should only have vaccines approved if they reduce the risk of hospitalization and death, period. Otherwise, it's not worth it. Most people have had COVID now. They've recovered. It's like a common cold. The serious cases are behind us. And it's very rare now that we'd have an index case that's severe. And if we start early treatment protocols, we keep them out of the hospital. So we have a situation now where there's largely regulatory malfeasance, wrongdoing, and widespread corruption between big pharma, the agencies. You can see this. You know, we've had FDA commissioners Gottlieb, Scott Gottlieb. Mm-hmm. He's on the board of Pfizer, promoting Pfizer. After him was Stephen Hahn. He's in the venture capital firm now promoting Moderna. You can see conflict of interest and corruption is wide open.
Well, that begs the final question, the series of questions that I have for you about where do we go from here. Dr. Peter McCullough has a long and storied career, folks, in medicine, internist, cardiologist, and epidemiologist. That's our way of saying he knows what he's talking about. So there've got to be some lessons learned after what happened during the pandemic, the lockdowns, the masks, the vaccines. Where do you think medicine needs to go, and what protections do we need to build in the various states or maybe even federal law to make sure that we never repeat the mistakes? As you said, the catastrophe that has been the China virus, so we don't repeat those.
At the federal level, we should never have a czar or somebody who is considered the absolute authority. To have Anthony Fauci be positioned as an absolute authority in this was a colossal error. Nobody's an absolute authority. We should always have teamwork, break things up into teams, work in work groups, and then vet our answers. We could have been a lot farther along. We clearly need to involve external experts. With respect to masks and lockdowns, we should have followed the Great Barrington Declaration. That was anchored by author Jay Bhattacharya at Stanford, which said we only need to protect our seniors and we don't need to lock down the country. The Great Barrington was correct. For early treatment, we should have followed the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. They featured the McCullough Protocol. If that was a protocol for the nation, we would have avoided basically 2/3 of 10 million hospitalizations and 1.1 million deaths. They were avoidable with early treatment. You can never make these mistakes again. At the state level, what the states need to do is they need to have, each state needs a surgeon general. This is a big mistake. Some states don't even have a doctor to even advise Health and Human Services. They're without guidance. That's one of the reasons why I was in Mississippi today. And so the states need to beef up on this and have the right type of physician advice in place. And the states need to review everything that comes down from the federal level. This is really important. So, for example, one of the questions I asked is, who here in the state of Mississippi reviewed the Pfizer post-marketing data? They said, we are relying on the FDA. Right. No, we can't do that. Checks and balances.
No, see, and that's exactly what my last question is, it pertains to this standardization, this getting out of practicing medicine, the art of practicing medicine. And I think the big pusher of this has to be these large conglomerates that basically were responsible, by the way, for forcing vaccines onto their staff. And some of the staff members are suing and winning in court against these large medical groups. How can good practicing physicians break out of the confines of a practicing medicine that is now being dominated by these big corporate interests?
Well, in some states like Texas, hospitals cannot directly employ doctors, but what they've done to get around it is they formed health systems, and in the health systems, they have physician groups in the parent operating group, and that effectively puts the doctors under the thumb of hospital administrators. That needs to stop. We can no longer have health systems employ doctor groups. Doctor groups need to be completely independent. demonstrate their independence so they can actually make decisions on the best behalf of the patient and not the financial gain of the health system.
Well, let's just hope there are efforts underway to do just that. Dr. Peter McCullough, again, folks, we're lucky to have him in the great state of Texas as a long-storied career in medicine as an internist, cardiologist, and epidemiologist. And thanks for taking the time in your busy travels to visit.
Thanks for having me.
That's going to put a wrap on this vacation edition of the Salcedo Storm podcast. You know the drill, my friends. Visit a couple of websites, texasscorecard.com, texasscorecard.com. They're still cranking out new stuff each and every day. chrissalcedo.com. You can go there and catch the social media hookups. I'll be giving some updates on social media here and there on places like Rumble and Getter. So make sure you just check in now and again there for some exclusive video while I'm on vacation, as long as I can sneak it past the wife. Till we visit again, my friends, remember this: a society's worth isn't measured by how much power is stolen by government, but rather by how much power is reserved for you and me. In short, we the people. See ya.
In the drawing room, a group of suspects gathered. The detective has solved the mystery.
Ladies and gentlemen, the butler did it.
You'll never catch me.
The butler darted to his getaway car. But what he didn't know is this is a Nissan sales event ad.
Wait, what?
And his car is no match for the detective's Nissan Rogue or its standard VC turbo engine. Save on one of your own at the Nissan Thrill of the Drive sales event.
Now get 0% APR financing for 36 months on select models. Availability is limited. For well-qualified buyers, 0% APR financing for 36 months available on new 2023 Altima, Rogue, and Pathfinder when financed through NMAC. Must take delivery from new dealer stock. 36 months financing at $27.78 per month per thousand financed. Actual down payment may vary, subject to residency restrictions and NMAC credit approval. Not all buyers qualify. Dealer contribution may affect actual price set by dealer. Contact dealer for details. Offer ends 2/28/23.
In the drawing room, a group of suspects gathered. The detective has solved the mystery.
Ladies and gentlemen, the butler did it.
You'll never catch me.
The butler darted to his getaway car. But what he didn't know is this is a Nissan sales event ad.
Wait, what?
And his car is no match for the detective's Nissan Rogue or its standard VC turbo engine. Save on one of your own at the Nissan Thrill of the Drive sales event.
Now get 0% APR financing for 36 months on select models. Availability is limited. For well-qualified buyers, 0% APR financing for 36 months available on new 2023 Altima, Rogue, and Pathfinder when financed through NMAC. Must take delivery from new dealer stock. 36 months financing at $27.78 per month per thousand financed. Actual down payment may vary, subject to residency restrictions and NMAC credit approval. Not all buyers qualify. Dealer contribution may affect actual price set by dealer. Contact dealer for details. Offer ends 2/28/23.